talked a lot about Connor Hellebuyck. We talked a lot about him last year, and when you might have said it was maybe a down year for him. He's playing very well at the moment. What is it in your eyes that he's doing so well? He seems quite calm, but what would it be for you?
I agree. There's a calm in his game for sure. But what stands out is how hard he's fighting to find the puck through traffic, right? So we know that a lot of the pucks that are coming to our net now are screened. So they're pretty simple plan of getting traffic to our net. And it would also be the plan of attack when you have a goalie that's hot. You've got to get in front of him. He's a big man, but even at his size, he's still going to have to fight to find the puck. I find that maybe younger, maybe more immature goaltenders don't have the confidence to stay on their feet to look around the screens. He's I don't like to comment too much on technically, as I don't truly understand what goalies do, just whether they stop it or not. But I know that he's worked hard at finding pucks, and then, you know, I think a lot of it's experience. It's no different than any other player. The NHL game's different, and he. And he's you know, in that kind of fourth full year of understanding the number one role, what it takes to stay sharp, how hard you got to compete in the crease every night to find those pucks.
If you're a defenseman and you let in, you know, you're on the ice for five goals against, you're probably not saying that you like your game. And Connor, you know, lets five in last week or whatever it was, 2 weeks ago now. You know, he comes out after the game and says he likes his game. And is there a benefit to being as confident as he is in that?
I think what might get slightly lost in translation in that idea of the analogy of what's different between a defenseman and a forward, sure, that a goaltender doesn't necessarily totally assess his game by the saves he makes, but by the save selection he makes. So I was right on that. I moved right. I was where I needed to be. I just didn't get a handle on it. I liked my thought process through the whole sequence of events. And there'll be nights we've won games where he's let a goal and he's just angry at himself because he didn't like the read on the shot, that he didn't make the right save selection, they call it, where your body is positioned when the puck comes to you. So he gets through some of those nights where maybe a few more get by him than people would think you can assess your game positively. But you guys said, you know what, my brain was right. My body didn't react exactly the way I wanted, but I made the right decisions. So he leaves that game assessing his game based on kind of the decisions you make sometimes before the puck comes there, because there are and have been the pucks that hit feet that get in behind you that are kind of bad breaks. You're a little unlucky in the net, but you're right in terms of how you process the game.
Early in the season, there was a focus on protecting the defensive blue line, really gapping tight. And, just about a month in here and at 9-7-1, how do you feel that that's gone for you so far?
I think quite well. On a sample size, It'll look just okay, but we've had a couple of rough nights, Pittsburgh at home. The overtime against Edmonton kind of skewed our odd man rush against numbers because each team only got six in a three-minute period, four-minute period at the time. But we're much, much better in terms of how much ice we give. We've had more breakaways. So there are sections of that rush defense that we don't love, but I'm real pleased with parts of it, yeah.
Another thing, just in terms of metrics, you guys talk about zone time quite a lot, and obviously you track scoring chances in your own versions of those. Is there one of those that's between, say, zone time and shots or scoring chances that seems more important to you that you'll lean on first or more heavily?
Probably the only one I would share is zone time to shots from your blue line. So if you're in there end of the ice and you're not getting pucks to the net, you're probably not doing enough to change the shape. But if you can get zone time and shots from the point your back end gets loose where you can get something to the net, you're usually causing enough chaos. So we want the zone time, but we don't want to be sitting in a corner cycling or changing sides all night down low, but nothing ever comes to the net. If your defense is getting shot attempts, it's usually a pretty good tale that you've created enough confusion down low to create a lane. Watch for that.
Last one on that topic. It seems for me every time I see Mark Scheifele playing on the outside. I wonder, when's he going to go in? When's he going to go in? And last night, he had a whole series of passes right to the center spot sort of thing. So what is the balance between a high-skill player like that playing on the outside but always looking towards the middle as well? How do you know when they're right?
When the puck that gets to their net has created something, and the decision that you make not to put a puck to the net doesn't create something for the other team. If you're going to be a seam line, and you're going to find with these three guys, you're going to see a bit of that. Now, the goal that they scored was the exact opposite. You know, Kyle makes a decision to shoot a puck, not try to force as a lefty a puck into a righty. There's a rebound, so we like that. But this line is going to look for more seams than the other lines. So for me, there's got to be I've got to get a balance there myself, because I can't ask them to play the exact same way that the Adam Lowry line plays. It's a different set of skills. So the answer would be that if you're making the decision not to put the puck in that, you're going to be a bit more perimeter. There has to be an offensive payoff to that. You have to hit that shot, and it has to be dangerous enough times so that when I measure it against, okay, you didn't take the shot on goal, you stayed around the outside, you tried to fit something through that didn't work, and we gave up a 3-on-2 and the other way against it. I have to measure against those two things. And then it has to fit into the overall framework of the team, right? I can't have one line completely doing something different that's not paying off. I also don't want the other three lines going, hey, let's try that, because that looks like fun. Nobody gets hit. So there's the balance. What are you getting for there has to be some room from the coach to offensive players to be creative, to do the things, right? So if you're going to make a play at the offensive line and you turn it over twice, I'm going to live with it if the eight other times you didn't turn it over and something really good happened to it. So the argument that I would get into as a coach, as a player comes, well, you let him turn the puck over at the blue line, why don't you let me? Well, okay, you turned it over the same number of times, too, but eight times they went in, five times they scored, and the eight times that you did, you turned it over four more times, and nothing good ever happened, so that doesn't work for you. Now, there's not a lot of people buying that argument, by the way. They're all versions of Gretzky.
Paul, just an update on the gentlemen that were not skating this morning, Ehlers, Wheeler, Kulikov, and I think Perreault was out when he came off.
All expected to be players tomorrow.
It was a game day yesterday, so we didn't really get a lot of reaction, or the handle of the thing wasn't really on the top of anybody's radar.
Yep.
Maybe a comment on, he's a surprise out of camp for me, and maybe I wasn't alone, and then plays a bunch of games for you and plays a couple for Pascal, and I was going to go back. What was the rationale, and what's the message to him?
The rationale is he's, first of all, we love the guy, right? We stepped up and drafted him. And we had an unusual year with our back end coming to camp and with Dustin out, so there was more opportunity to be had, and he had a great camp. So he earned the right to stay, but it never changed the fact that he is 18, that there aren't 18-year-old defensemen playing in the NHL for good reason, because you can ruin them. At his build and at his style of game, we don't want that to change. And even in the American League, there's a lot of heavy, heavy forwards, and it's actually harder for a guy like Ville to read the play at that level because it's not as defined. That we want him to train to be a certain kind of defenseman, and we're not worried about what year it is that he plays for the Winnipeg Jets. We want him to be that kind of defenseman. He can continue on his development path to be the puck-moving, power play guy back home. And whether he comes in and makes our team or he plays for the Moose next year, the most important thing is we get the Ville Heinola that we believe he can be as that player at some point in the future. I'm really happy with the decision. I think it's absolutely the right place for him to be. We have to be patient with this young man. I've seen 18-year-old defensemen come in and have score goals and look good, and then by the middle of December, they're getting pounded one-on-one. They lose their confidence. They don't touch the puck anymore. Coaches are getting paid to win hockey games. Their minutes get cut back, and all you've done is take a young kid who's had a great training camp and turned it into a complete failure by the time he leaves. He left here yesterday feeling really good about himself, really good about his impact that he made with the Jets organization, and excited to get back on his career. He's 18. He needs to be playing positive minutes and in positive environment. And I'm happy, really happy with the decision. I'm more happy that we drafted him.
And as far as last one for me, just the Lucas Pisa, I just spoke to him briefly, and he he's sort of really liking his lot in life right now. He's in the city. He's been very comfortable with this group and didn't know what to expect as far as time on the ice, but he's just he's happy. What do you like about his short time?
He's a pro defenseman, you know, like he understands what he's good at. He's not trying to add two or three more layers to impress people here. He's absolutely, and you saw his bumps last night, and for the longer time running fans, you saw the fight between him and Anthony Peluso. It was a bit of the Lowry had to answer for a hit. Luca hits, and it wasn't a great fight for Luca or anybody who ever fought Anthony Peluso, but he's kind of that stand-up guy. He'll block shots, he'll hit. I mean, you look at his career, he's over 500 games, but at 18 minutes a night, he's a pro. He had a real good year going in Vegas. He had some injuries toward the end of it. His contract didn't kind of get worked out the way he'd hoped with, and he got into this tough spot, right? But I had him at the World Cup, so I knew he's a really, really good man, and he would fit into our room. He's got some pro games in him, so we can use that. And, you know, he's happy and we're happy. He fits into the room. Let's see where he can go. Like, I'd like if we can get this guy back to where he was playing in Vegas a little while ago. We got a nice find.
We won't talk to you until after the game tomorrow. Is Connor going to start tomorrow? Or is that?
Yes.
And the same lineup?
Yes.
And I just have one question. Somebody asked you a couple days ago about the challenges this year of coaching this team. And that, personally, for you, how has it been, I guess? I don't know if it's been. Have you enjoyed the challenge, or would? I mean, obviously, you'd rather have a, you know.
Very much.
I guess.
Right. So when you learn early on that nothing is permanent, and that the game is going to change around you, and you've got to have eyes open and be prepared to change what you do, not so much what you believe, but the mode. And we got a bunch of things that, you know, we could kind of feel it coming in the summer. You see a bunch of guys leaving, you know you're going to be a little light, Dustin, and then all the car accidents and bad injuries and things that have been strange for us. Keep your eyes open. And the one thing that's kind of caught is that old idea, you know, adversity makes you stronger. And I know it's a line in a book and it's on, you know, Hallmark cards and all those kind of things. And then adversity is an opportunity. And that's what's turned out here. Every time we've had something go south on us, you know, we've got Tucker Poolman. The question is, where is he going to fit? You know, how is he going to come into the NHL? Well, we figured that out early. He's playing in the one hole right now, right? Just because there's Dustin Byfuglien's not there. And then Neil Pionk's not, we're not going to work him in. We'll just play him 29 minutes. So there's the advantage, the adversity. We lose Brian. Put Blake back in the middle. Jack Roslovic gets an opportunity, and he's earned it, right? He's a much different player than he was even in training camp, right? He's starting that upward. He's starting to get it. So with all of these things, it's been really good. And you also, on a smaller, you find out about your staff, your off-ice staff. So the coaches and the trainers and the medical guys, I mean, I don't know if fun is the right word, but the challenge has been great for us because it's kind of rallied us all around each other. And then Al Pritchard getting cancer for the second time. Like, we've had a bunch of shocks to our group. It's brought everybody a little closer together, so we kind of laugh differently than we used to, right? I think we're a closer group.